This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I almost forgot about this. There are separate shows I do, and I know this can get confusing for people, so allow me to explain something. And I say this because I got this email on an Ask Dr. Jesse. She said, love, love, love your show, but who are you looking at? Look at us! I understand where the confusion is, so allow me to explain. I have a TV show that comes on right after this, 9 p.m. Eastern time. It is a TV show on The First TV. The First TV, all right? You can go watch me do a one-hour TV show. I do a lot more guests, a bunch of interviews with people. I do a monologue at the beginning. You can also listen to it. But this is the radio show, the three-hour radio show, nationally syndicated across the country. They, all the suits and all their, you know, they're always doing something. They decided in their infinite wisdom, they wanted to put a bunch of cameras here in the studio because I guess this watching people do a radio show thing is a big thing now. It's called a simulcast, and it is. It's a really big thing. You saw, obviously, The Great Rush was doing it before he passed on. I know Glenn does it. It's a big thing. They put a camera here in the studio where you can watch me do the radio show. That's also on The First TV. That's on The First TV. But if you're watching me do the radio show on The First TV, I'm doing a radio show. So I'm kind of talking either at nothing or at Chris, or at Michael through the glass. I forget, I really do, I forget the camera's even here. And because I'm not doing a radio show for the camera, I don't talk into the camera. I'm looking at the camera now. I see that? Look at how good I look. Anyway, I'm talking into the camera now, but that's what you're looking at, lady. You're looking at me doing the radio show. That's why I'm not looking at you. This guy says, soon to be half butthead. I only had daughters and never had to deal with this, but I always wondered. You're 42 and you have sons. Or your sons are young teenagers. That's right. My youngest just turned 13 today. I would guess that you can still pretty easily dominate them physically. So here's my question. At what time in the future do you see as the tipping point? 5 years, 10 years? I'm guessing they'll be pretty big kids, and I know at least one is a runner, so you might run into a stamina problem with him. Answer wisely, as I know they listen. All right. Well, yes, I absolutely dominate roughhousing with the boys still to this day. A lot of that, A lot of that is strength. A lot of that is simple experience. Like when my sons are, like when my sons attack me or try to come at me, let's say they're trying to push me. My oldest loves doing this. He loves trying to put his hands on my shoulders or my chest and pushing me backwards. Well, even if he catches me off balance and gets the upper hand, I just simply grab one shoulder and pull it towards me and then push the other shoulder. And I've tried to explain, stop trying to push them both at once. Get someone off balance. So I just twist him and he's off balance immediately and I win. I do the same thing when they try to do the little slap boxing thing with me. They'll come up to me with their fists up and try to get all fancy. And I'll just whap him in the stomach real fast. And then, of course, they drop their hands like they always do. And pop, I'll give him one right across the side of the head. And they're laughing. And I said, you know, that's some guy's going to take your chin off one of these days. You don't keep those hands up there. But I'll be honest with you. They're getting stronger. And they're getting faster. So I also have the advantage of my sons, and I don't know how or why this is. I suspect this is because we had them in church right away from very early. But they're such good, decent people compared to me. Like, they don't even seem like they're my kids. They're really, like, they have a heart for other people. You know, I told you we're going to Red Lobster tonight, taking my youngest son to Red Lobster tonight. Well, the wife doesn't really like Red Lobster anymore. I know. She doesn't really like Red Lobster anymore. And my youngest lives and dies for it. And he was trying to pick a different restaurant tonight for his birthday just so mom would have a place where that she liked to eat as well. That's the kind of kids they are. I don't have any of that. I'm such a jerk. Now, when we're roughhousing, that means if I do find myself in a bad spot, I'll just simply give him a little Charlie horse or something like that, right in the thigh or right in the arm. Just drop them like a bad habit. And they can't ever bring themselves to do that back to me or do that to each other. It's their good hearts that get them. I'd say, though, probably 5 years. That might be maybe 10, probably 5 to 10 years. They're getting so much bigger and so much stronger. I am maintaining my physical strength. In fact, physically, I'm probably as strong as I've ever been. Not in the best shape I've ever been, obviously, but probably as strong as I've ever been. That'll help, but 5 years. I'd say 5 years they probably got me. Dear Jesse, Kelly-san, I'm sitting here with a pen and highlighter waiting for the Anti-Communist Manifesto to arrive. I know after reading it, I will have a black belt from Pink Flower Anti-Communist Dojo. Why does no one question free trade is his question. Why do we assume it's beneficial for our country? Well, here's the problem with a lot of what we see now with so much confusion and so many lies out there. You'll hear a lot of lamenting now about like free trade or capitalism. You'll hear people complain, even people on the right now will complain about capitalism or free market capitalism. And that's a natural reaction when people feel like they've been left behind or shortchanged by the system of government they live in. So if you're sitting there right now listening to the sound of my voice, maybe you're a young man or a young woman, maybe you got a career, you're getting started, and maybe you're starting to look around, maybe you're ready to buy a home, maybe you're about to start a young family or something like that, you want to buy a home, and you're looking around, and you're stunned by how unaffordable all these things are. It's just staggering to you. And you're lamenting that, we talked about this inflation number earlier.
But look at the inflation big picture. Overall inflation up nearly 16% from January 2021 when Biden first took office to last month. And food at home, your groceries, are up nearly 20%. The consumer price index was at 3% in June and rose to 3.2% in July.
Okay. All right. You're looking around, can't afford a home. You've watched your wealth decrease. She says 16. I would argue by what I've seen, it's at least 20. You're 20% poorer now than you were a couple years ago. Your parents had a house earlier than you'll be able to have a house. Maybe you're sitting there sitting on 50, 100 grand in student loans. And you're looking at your life versus the life your parents had and their parents had. And you're wondering, well, is this a decent system at all? Why isn't anyone questioning this? But here's the problem with that point of view. It's not that you're wrong in your point of view. Let me be clear about that. The problem is you think what you're looking at is capitalism. What we have right now is not capitalism. This gangster corporatism we have now in this country, where the federal government has partnered with the big businesses against the American people and against the small businesses of this country, that's the furthest thing in the world from capitalism. If you want to call it what I've called it before, what others have called it, gangster capitalism, that would be appropriate. But don't think what we're looking at now is capitalism. And when it comes to free trade, don't think that what we have in this country is free trade. Tariffs on this, they tariff on that, they're doing this, they're doing that. Chinese manipulation of currency, and then we buy all our things from them. We destroy our manufacturing sector and export it over to China. Now we have all these Rust Belt communities who've been devastated. They're all hooked on drugs, their standard of living. Don't think that that's free trade. Don't think that that's capitalism. What we have now is not capitalism, and it's not free trade. Because what we have now isn't working doesn't mean that capitalism doesn't work. It's not what it means at all. It means our country got old and complacent and soft, and we stopped putting our finger on these people. We stopped caring enough to get involved and stay involved, and they have run wild in the absence of us. The absence of us caring is what has enabled these people to descend, to bring us down into the rot we have become. We let them off the hook over and over and over again. Do I need to bring up again how many COVID tyrants got reelected? The American people don't care enough yet about freedom to try to fight and preserve it. Bottom line. All right. Bunch more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And you know what? A great example of what I was just talking about. Next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I like that song, Chris. It makes me feel even cooler than I normally am. What? It just, I feel like I should have music behind me at all times. What do you mean? Yeah, we've talked about that before, but I mean in daily life, not just on the radio. I'm talking in daily life. I wish I could have kind of like a theme song around me at all times. What would it be? Oh, gosh, I don't know. Isn't that song about hero? What is that? Creed, There Goes My Hero or Foo Fighters? I don't even like the Foo Fighters or that song. That's actually a really crappy song and a crappy band, but it should be something about me. Really, something in general about me. All right, back to what we were talking about the government and this gangster government we have and how tied in they all are with each other. Don't think that this is capitalism. This gangster system we have is not capitalism. Disney hires former unflinchingly loyal Joe Biden press secretary to run issues-oriented messaging a month after CEO Bob Iger said the company wanted to stay out of the culture wars. I'll break down that horrific headline for you. Disney just hired another Democrat, another Joe Biden Democrat. Walked right out of Joe Biden's office, right into a major job at Disney. All these major corporations, they're all now tied into the government. Again, they're part of this evil system we have where they all figured out that they don't have to even worry about us. Screw us. Hey, let's just make another gay movie for them. That's what they want.
Why are you gay?
Instead, they live for each other. They join up with each other at all times and just to screw us over and loot us over. It's all horrible. Jesse, you have access. How's Fred doing? I hope he's well. You haven't updated us in a while. Fred's pathetic, actually. He's absolutely pathetic. The dog, when I get home, and not only that, he's getting me in trouble a lot lately, if you have to know. Because he's a big fluffy idiot. And okay, so in our house, the boys have to go walk him. The boys have to clean up his mess. The boys are actually the ones who feed him and pour rough greens on his food. The wife brushes him. And if he ever needs medicine or anything like that, the wife gives it to him. So I don't really do much of that. Now, I let him out and I go for walks and stuff with him, but I don't really do much of the day-to-day maintenance. And of course, I'm his favorite. And I have tried to explain to the wife, who is a bit perturbed that I'm his favorite, I've tried to explain that dogs are pack animals, and it's not necessarily that I'm his favorite. I'm the alpha. I'm by far the biggest one in the house. Think about a wolf. A wolf would automatically assume, and he would be correct, that the biggest, strongest one in the pack is the leader, the alpha of the pack. And because this is a community animal, he wants the constant approval of King Dog, of the alpha. And I tried to explain it to her, but when I get home, or if we're all already home, and she's sitting there cuddling with the dog, and I walk into the room, he will leap away from her to come get any bit of attention from me, and she is just offended beyond belief. Anyway, he says, you have access to a time machine for a day. Which assassination would you use your super spy skills to prevent? Julius Caesar by the Senate or Franz Ferdinand by that greasy anarchist? Please explain your thinking. And his name is Larry. Oh, man. You know, that anarchist, his name is Gavrilo Princip. He was greasy. If you ever see any pictures of him, he was greasy. You know one of the reasons he was so greasy? He never showered. You know one of the reasons he never showered? He didn't have a six-piece towel set from MyPillow to dry off with. What, Chris? He didn't. I would, look, if I didn't have an all-USA cotton six-piece towel set from MyPillow, I wouldn't shower either. What's the point? I think I'd just go around like a despicable grease ball all day long if I couldn't shower and then dry off with the wonderful towels. Six-piece towel set. So good, it's normally $79.98 right now, and it will sell out, so this is very limited. They sell it for $39.99. Two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. Don't be a greasy dirtball like Gavrilo Princip. Go shower and then dry off with your six-piece towel set. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special square at the top, and use the promo code Jesse. Or call 800-845-0544. Go get them while they last. Now, which assassination would I stop? This is a difficult question to answer because of this. Let me explain. Part of the reason I tell you I don't care about politicians, I just believe in using them the way they all use us, use them all like rental cars, is I never focus too much on one man. Especially when it comes to political movements, ideological movements. Why? Because it's always about the people and their desires versus one man. And I'm not trying to be lofty about that. Oh, it's really about the people. The truth is, why was there a Julius Caesar? We talked early in the show about the Populare movement. The people were sick and tired of the elites in Roman society pillaging them, only enriching themselves. And so they started looking for populists, basically, who would at least voice the people's desires, stand up for the people. And these populists kept rising, and the corrupt, evil system kept destroying them. And they just kept killing them. And obviously they killed Caesar, too. He finally won, took over, and then they killed him for it. Then you ended up with Caesar Augustus. But beyond that, why wouldn't I even try to stop it? Why not try to stop it? Even though Julius Caesar, honestly, a fascinating human being, one of the most, if not the most brilliant men who's ever walked the planet. He's just, there was nothing he wasn't good at. He was just great at everything. I don't think I would try to stop that. Even though I don't like it, I wouldn't try to stop it. Because even if you stopped it, it doesn't change what's happening in society at large. The society as a whole is still going one way and very clearly needs to go a certain way. So kill a man, don't kill a man. It's still going that way. This is a great lesson for our evil system today, for all you evil people who are listening. In fact, I'll finish my thought on this and how it applies to Franz Ferdinand next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you you can email your love, your hate, your death threats during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Question was asked, which assassination would I use my spy skills to prevent? Historical one, and I already talked about the Julius Caesar one. Let's talk about this Franz Ferdinand one for the uninitiated. Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, and that's what kicked off World War One. And I don't have near enough time to get into all this, but World War One radically changed the direction of our entire planet. And this can be argued over and over again, and I'm not saying I'm right about this, but I argue, having read a bunch about both wars, that World War One actually changed the planet's direction more than World War II did. It altered the planet. And this is what I mean. World War I represented the last kind of gasp of an old era. What is that era? The era that had been around for ages, where massive nation states were led by monarchs. Nation states led by monarchs. Russia has a czar, Germany has a kaiser, England has a king, and I know that that's there were different time frames there, but the world, they call them turnings. You ever do any reading or watch documentaries on turnings? It's called a turning. What it is everything, the established order of things on a planet or in any given, you know, area of society, eventually, it's just human nature, it grows old and stale and insufficient. The way I look at it, when I look at World War I, that was the end of the time of kings and monarchs, when the people in various ways were sick and tired of being led by stale old kings. You see this especially in Russia, which all that Russian revolution by the communists took place. Obviously, they got a bad revolution, but that took place in World War I. Tsar Nicholas II was in charge. By many accounts, a wonderful human being, a good family man, but not probably the best leader, never wanted to be the leader. And the people were sick and tired of not advancing the way they should. And just people were sick of it. They were just sick of it. In Germany, same kind of thing. They had a Kaiser and it was okay. It was, people were sick of their old forms of government and the old ways things had been done. Archduke Franz Ferdinand gets assassinated by Gavrilo Princip, which that in and of itself is a really fascinating story. And that kicks off World War I. And the world had never seen anything like World War I, ever. There had never been anything like it, where people were dying by the million? What? Millions of people dying? I forget what the number is. And for some reason, I can never remember this number. But the numbers are amazing. In France, don't quote me on this, but I think France lost 1 out of 5 men dead. Or 1 out of 5 were casualties. It's something like that. It's a staggering number that when you look at the percentages, you think, what? That's not even, what? That's not even possible. The nation states just gave over droves of their young men to go be slaughtered by machine guns and disease and artillery shells and gas and all the horrible things. And just the world had never experienced anything like it. And it was this long, bloody, awful affair. But at the end of it, so much of the planet had changed. The British Empire that stretched across the globe, the time was officially ticking down on that empire. They were so in debt, they had lost their financial standing on the planet. We became the financiers of the world. The finance capital of the world went from London to New York because of World War I. I don't have to even describe to you what happened to Germany's system. No more Kaiser, no more anything. They blamed it all on them. All that disastrous period for Weimar Germany where they went with trannies and all kinds of stuff. And then that brought about the rise of Hitler's piece of trash Nazis. The Soviets, they came to be the Bolshevik Revolution. I look at it as in this way. Let's say I could stop Gavrilo Princip from assassinating Archduke Franz Ferdinand. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Stop? Because after all, wouldn't that stop all those millions of men from going to die in the trenches? Well, would it? Just because you stopped this one, don't things still need to change for the people? Even if it wasn't this one, the people will still demand a change. And yeah, Chris is right. They called it a powder keg, the powder keg of Europe, the area where he was killed. The powder keg doesn't cease being a powder keg because you stop one assassination attempt. All the tensions are still there. And this is a great message for our evil system and our evil form of government we have now. If you're one of these evil parts of the system we have now, these Democrats, many Republicans, if you're at the FBI listening to me, DOJ, if you're one of these big shots in the media, Hollywood, academia, You're all puffed out in your chest right now because you run everything and you run every cultural institution and you get to do whatever you want and we're going to lock Trump up and turn your kids into a tranny and I do whatever I want. I own you, living high on the hog with all your control. But it doesn't matter how many Trumps you throw in prison. If the people distrust their institutions, distrust their government, and they're getting ready to cast it off, you could throw every Trump in the world in prison. It won't be enough. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable. Either you start treating the people with respect and dignity, or your days are numbered. Whether that's a year from now, which it's not, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, and whatever form that takes, right? I don't know what form that takes. Sadly, historically, it takes ugly forms. When old systems, like the dead skin of a snake. You ever seen a snake shed its skin? I forget what my kids called it. You know, my oldest son has that python. What's he call it now? Oh, every snake owner's yelling at the radio right now. Whatever. You ever seen a snake shed its skin? It's ugly, isn't it? Molting. That's what it is, molting. It's despicable. It's really gross. And that's kind of what happens with old, ugly, corrupt governments. They're hurting us. They're holding us back. And so they will be shed. And the shedding of those governments is oftentimes ugly. Oftentimes, look, if you brought up Julius Caesar. In Julius Caesar's time, it looks like Populare is getting beaten to death, stabbed to death. In Archduke Franz Ferdinand's time, it looked like a world war that killed millions. Look, let's talk about our own country. This was the beginning, this was another turning on the planet. We were ready for our independence. Mexico was ready for theirs. The French, things were all kinds of upheaval in Europe. That Revolutionary War was ugly and terrible. It's ugly when you shed the skin, when you molt. That's the way it goes, though. So stopping one individual event doesn't stop what's coming anyway. All right, one segment left. We'll get as many as we can possibly get to. Rapid fire, Chris. Bang, bang. Rapid what, Chris? Rapid fire. That's going to be me in the last segment. Now, let's do this. Let's rapid fire some ultrasounds. You see, preborn needs as many ultrasounds in the bank as humanly possible going into a Labor Day weekend so they can keep saving babies while we are enjoying world-famous Jesse Kelly burgers on the griddle. Preborn, they set up shop in these high abortion areas. They find women who are seeking out abortions, and they give them free ultrasounds with the money you send preborn. Go look up preborn, by the way. Go look up their charity rating. Your $28 goes to that young woman. That young woman, and more specifically her baby, they need you right now. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give that $28. If you're well off, keep in mind this is tax deductible. $5,000 allows you to sponsor the whole network for a day. That's 200 lives saved. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I know you have enjoyed today's Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, you can download the whole thing. The iHeartRadio app is free, I should point out. iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes, download all 3 hours. Enjoy them at your leisure with all the history in there and everything else. You know what else I enjoy? You know what I'm going to enjoy this Labor Day weekend? Jesse Kelly Burgers. There is one thing that makes Jesse Kelly Burgers better than they've ever been before. You know what that one thing is? The burger from Good Ranchers. It's not just that it's the highest quality burger. It's American burger. So somehow the Jesse Kelly burgers have gotten even more American. And what I love about Good Ranchers is, one, all American meat. Two, a company of men who share our values, God and country. These are our people. I've sat down with them personally. Believe me, these are our people. $480 worth of free ground beef to anyone who subscribes. You pick a box, any kind of meat box you're looking for. They deliver it to your home. Highest quality meat delivered to your home in 2 years worth of free ground beef, man. GoodRanchers.com. Code Jesse gets you $25 off and the 2 years worth of free ground beef. So don't forget that. All right. GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Jesse. American meat delivered. Jesse Kelly burgers on Labor Day with Good Ranchers. What a marriage, Chris. What a match made in what, Chris? Don't shake your head. Match made in heaven. Anyway.
And now
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Realistically, where are these new conservatives going to come from if the right never attempts to cherry-pick other groups of people like the left? I'm one of the few new black conservatives, and I don't understand how the right doesn't play the game in full. Wouldn't that help break the, quote, racist propaganda claims they allow the left to continually finger-point at? Or is the left kind of right about racism on the right? This is something I probably should have addressed in the beginning because it's such a long answer, but let's dig into this. First, let's deal from the back to the front. Is the left right about racism on the right? Are they correct? Are they right? Are there a bunch of racists on the right? Well, there are racists everywhere. In fact, I don't know about racism, but you know who's prejudiced? Everybody. Every single person who walks the planet carries around prejudice of some kind. You get prejudice from your life experiences and from how you were raised, from the influences around you. Your prejudices may not be skin color. It may be religious. It could be heights. Chris doesn't like blondes. Who knows what your prejudices are? But that's what they are, right? So the right doesn't have any more racists than the left. When it comes to the black community and the right, what we have right now is kind of a Cold War that can come off like racism. I see this a lot. And this is what the Cold War is. The right looks at the black community, and what do they see? Guaranteed Democrat votes. That's what they see. 92-93% voting Democrat is a staggering number. Now, the black community looks at the right, and what do they see? Well, they won't even come talk to us. You talk to someone in a black community, like we had on Joe Collins. He runs against Maxine Waters out in Compton. I really like Joe. And obviously a black dude. And he said, dude, Jesse, I'm one of the only black Republicans these people have ever met. They've never met one until I got here. So if you're a black person in a black community, a Republican won't even come talk to you. If you're on the right, if you're a Republican, the black people will never vote for you. And what it's done is it's created a mutual animosity between the two sides. And the black people will interpret that, understandably, as racism. Well, I guess they just don't like black people. And the right people, or the people on the right, will interpret the conduct of the black people of, well, why am I going to outstretch my hand for somebody who doesn't give a crap what I have to say, and they just vote Democrat all the time anyway? It's a cold war on the right that will be a long war to fight and win. It will be a very, very, very long war. I have said this over and over again. What I believe is the right should be funding losing races in black communities. The communist doesn't look at any community, any race in the country and washes his hands of it. They'll pick somebody in a red area and they'll fully fund their candidate who's going to lose, knowing that they'll gain ground and maybe they'll win 10 years from now. That's what the right should be doing. But to what you were saying in the beginning, should we play the game and identify new groups to go after? Well, maybe the right should, maybe they shouldn't, because the truth is people in general love to be pandered to. Politicians pander. We mock them for pandering. You know, Hillary Clinton talking about hot sauce in her purse. We mock them when they pander. But people love to be pandered to. Look at Vivek. It's a great example. The guy didn't even vote like last year. He's been a Democrat. He's taken every position on an issue in the last hour. And I'll still get emails, 20 of them by Monday. Man, I really love this. Vivek just openly pandering to you. The dude's a Hindu, believes in 33 gods. He'll get up in a debate and talk about God and country, and people on the right will fall all over themselves. Oh my gosh, I love him. People love to be pandered to. It's human nature. So maybe the right should electorally start pandering to people. Maybe they should. I personally find it revolting. I won't do it. I wouldn't do it when I ran for Congress. I wouldn't ever change clothes. It didn't matter who I was campaigning to. I wore a suit and tie. If it was too hot, I would take off my jacket and roll up my sleeves. But no matter what, suit and tie. And the people who I had on my campaign would yell at me, please, you got to change clothes. This won't go over there. I was so disgusted by the thought of faking who I am to pander to an individual group of people that I refused to do it. But then again, I lost. So maybe I'm not the one to ask. I see the right's efforts already to pander to this group or that group, and I find them all to be cringeworthy and pathetic. I thought when Nikki Haley, I thought when she got up at the debate and she did that, I'm a woman. No, as a woman. And then Tim Scott got up there as a single child. And as I hate, and whenever anyone says as a blank, I'm automatically turned off, including veterans. I hate when I hear that in politics. As a veteran, buddy, I don't care that you're a veteran. Do you have right opinions or not? A lot of veterans are idiots. A lot of them are wonderful. Which one are you? Tell me what you believe. So maybe you're right. Maybe that is the solution. Maybe more pandering is the solution. Maybe I'm the naive one just wanting all people, regardless of religion or skin color or anything else, to choose freedom over this evil communism we have. But maybe I'm wrong. I want you to enjoy your Labor Day. I want you to put the phone and the politics down for a few days and enjoy your Labor Day. I won't be here Monday. I'll be back Tuesday. You enjoy yourself, all right? I promise the problems will be here on Tuesday. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.